All right, entertaining Eagles game last night. Mick Jagger would have been a fan. I mean, maybe he is a fan. What do I know? I found out someone the other day is an Eagles
fan. He probably
is. Who was it? Someone on WIP said, might have been the afternoon show. They're talking about someone. Was it Todd Bridges?
Spike knows a lot of people from his, music.
Yeah. I think it was Todd Bridges, though. I think they said Todd Bridges is an Eagles fan. Anyway, it was somebody.
Todd Bridges is a fan of the Eagles.
I think
didn't
that's
Todd
who they
Bridges
said.
What'd you talk about, Willis?
No, he's the only one alive. Gary Coleman died and Dana Plato died, but Todd Bridges
I thought maybe he passed away, too.
Well, he was the closest to pass away the earliest, but he survived that era and emerged. All right, so a lot on the Eagles today for obvious reasons. Tanner
that
McKee.
Was an incredible show,
it was a very
Joe.
Good show. Very good
different
show.
Different strokes.
Very good
different
show.
Different strokes at the time was must-see
great
TV.
Show.
That was on Fridays.
Love
I don't
it.
Know if you remember.
No, great show.
But it really was appointment TV. No one missed it.
You don't have to convince me. I know. All right, so Tanner McKee and the defense, two things that come into focus, I think, the most on last night. Tanner McKee, excellent. Defensive players, I thought there were some concerns with guys the Eagles could lean on or may now not lean on. Let me give you something that's a bit of a concern, maybe more than a bit. So Buster Olney, there's no audio of this, but Buster Olney in a written report recently, ESPN, obviously, baseball guy, wrote the following about Kyle Schwarber, take it for what it's worth. Here's what he wrote. Schwarber is going to make big money in free agency in the fall. We all know that. Okay. Schwarber is going to make big money in free agency in the fall, no matter where he lands. Some friends of his in the game wonder if he'd prefer to play closer to his Midwest roots. Huh. Now, it could be the early stages of the cat and mouse game between the Schwarber camp and the Phillies camp. Hey, let's put out there.
Probably.
He might. I don't know about if it's probably, John, because being where you want to be is really important, particularly if you already have enough money. I know this. If I had all the money in the world, I'd be where I want to be. And I'm not saying he doesn't love Philly and love the Phillies and Phillies fans and that clubhouse. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if he wants to be somewhere else, he can be somewhere else. James, what's your reaction to hearing that from Buster Olney?
I just feel we've heard so many times, like, oh, he might go home, he might go back to where he's from, and I feel like it happens so rarely in these type of situations. So I'm not, you know, freaking out. I do think all of this stuff we hear is at least in some part of a cat and mouse game.
Yep.
So I don't overreact to it, but look, I just look at it in general as the fact that I think there's going to be a lot of teams that want to sign Kyle Schwarber. So
for sure.
I have a question for you guys, important question about the Eagles.
Hmm.
How do you feel about the fact that they chose to wear white at home?
I didn't even notice it.
This is
how about that?
Very Dallas Cowboys. This is not the norm. That when I was playing for the Philadelphia Eagles, we were not wearing white at home, ever. That's not how we rolled.
Huh.
You wear green or Kelly green.
So were they all white last
green.
Night?
Yeah, they were all white. They were wearing the aways.
So this
is a departure. I don't remember them doing
should
this.
Should they
in
take
the
that Super Bowl banner that they're going to put up down? Is it that big a controversy?
No.
By the way,
not.
Can I
but
let me say
I
this?
I wondered if you noticed.
No,
I wondered how you felt about it.
I
do not prefer it.
I did not. I will tell you something I've noticed, and I am bothered by it because I feel like the moment has passed. And I really think the Eagles are making a mistake on this one. I really do. All love to the Eagles, but I think this was a foolish decision. They should have had the kind of, you know, banner-ish thing that goes out toward 95. That says two-time Super Bowl champ. And it can stay up forever. They don't have to hide from that. They had it up 7 years ago when they won. You know, we won Super Bowl 52 thing, whatever it said. And then they took it down shortly before the season. And so there's nothing that faces out. I want the freaking Giants fans, the Jets fans, the Washington people, the Baltimore people. Like, I know some of them have got more rings. I mean, Giants got four. But, I mean, Eagles got two now. Put your chest out a little bit. Put that freaking thing out there. It says Super Bowl 52, Super Bowl 59 champions. It really annoys me that I feel like they run from that. You don't have to run from that. And it could stay up this
year.
They're
not running. Maybe
they are.
Have the pride on the inside.
No, face it out also. We waited 52 years for them to win a Super Bowl. They won it. Then seven more years. Just put it out, please. All right, to the phones. A lot from last night to react to. Eagles Shirley. Shirley, what'd you make of what we saw?
Hey, good morning, family and friends and everybody.
Good morning, Shirley.
Hi, Eagles Shirley.
Always good hearing from you, Shirley.
Listen, so I had to take my notes during preseason. I was looking for a couple of things during last night's game. One of the things I was looking forward to seeing in these rookies, but first I need to quote something that Howie said that blew my mind, and I just love the man.
In the interview, the halftime interview? Okay,
yes.
What stood out to you?
He said, we build depth with the rookies and add value with free agency. And I'm like, and then he gave the explanation of why, they doing what they're doing. And I'm like, I'm thinking about all the years that I've been watching the Philadelphia Eagles and how we, I think it kind of went back to something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago when I called into your show, Joe, about, letting older players go, bringing rookies in, when do
sure.
we do this?
But I'll tell you, I thought of Slay a lot last night, Shirley. I thought, because at some point Slay's going to fall off a cliff. I don't know that it happens this year. I know last year he was still well above average. I mean, he was really good last year.
Well, we'll see.
But I'm just saying that spot came into focus last night. That decision in March and that spot for the next 5-6 months, that was concerning last night.
Yeah, no. I'm not making light on that. I do agree. But let me say something. I did have some notes that I wanted to talk about. Since you brought that up, the preseason games are for us to see and for the coaches to see, right? These rookies that, made it, to the roster, can they take what they learn in training? And they're not going to show everything, right, in training camp, but they learn stuff, in the rooms, When y'all, sitting in the rooms, right, Johnny? Y'all learning in different ways.
Absolutely.
So are we going to count Ringo out, for this one preseason game? That's for the coaches to know. The coaches know if he can pick the certain things up. I think it was Ross Tucker. One of them was saying, why is he lined up so far back? Is that something that he learned in training camp, or is that something that he did on his own? So it's a couple of things that I want to see in the next game. Let's see in the next game if they go back and they, practice and say, no, this is what we need for you to do, and this is what we need to make adjustments on. And let's, at game two, preseason game two, let's see if any adjustments were made, and if he could pick up then. For me, I was looking to see, one, who was going to be disciplined. And I saw it was a little bit, they was disciplined to the point where they wasn't. Penalties. I wrote that down. Too many penalties on defense. And not leaving offense out, because every time offense messed up and somebody got through it.
Shirley, I thought they could have had more penalties on D. And a lot of times penalties, it's not as much. I think jumping off sides is undisciplined. But I think when a cornerback is handsy and gets a penalty, it's not undisciplined. It's just you're not good enough. I mean, a lot of times it just means someone beat you to a spot. Or let me put it this way: you're not confident enough because you're not good enough to be confident enough on how to play it legally, and so you start kind of trying to get handsy because the guy's otherwise about to catch the ball. That to me, that's more about just not being good enough.
But it could be that too. It could also the great cornerbacks, they can know how to disguise this stuff, and they don't.
That's right. That's right.
So, no doubt.
That's right.
That comes with time.
Experience counts for so much.
I agree. All right, Shirley, give me a big answer. Coming of age character.
Wait, Joe, one more thing.
Yes.
One of the things that I wanted to see last night was on special teams, and I did see that with Anais. I needed to see that run, but I needed to see that. Our offense, we're gonna do fine. I mean, I was just going crazy on offense. Tanner McKee and everybody.
Yeah.
Which was introduced again. Like, come on. But everything else, I think let's – I know it's a talk show, and I know callers want to call in and stuff, but I'm not going to, X the guy off now. They do make cuts. They got to go from
that. I'm just telling you, Shirley, I don't think Kelee Ringo is going to be the starter. I'm just telling you that right now.
I don't think so either. But like I said, I just want to see how much do they believe in. That's it.
All right, give me a coming-of-age character. Who do you have, Cheryl?
So I was thinking about this. I love too many characters from the movies. I don't know if I go with – let me give you one. How about Craig from Friday?
You got it.
Yeah, for
hey,
sure.
Shirley, outstanding phone call. Always wonderful hearing from you. Appreciate that. Well, good morning to you from Borgata. Jetta Cameron and John Ritchie, along with Seltzer and Devin on 94 WIP on this Friday morning. Eagles won last night. Entertaining game. Fun game. No Rhea with us today. She'll be back, of course, next week. We'll get to Sirianni, what he said about Tanner McKee and Keely Ringo, a tale of two players, to say the least. One guy whose arrow is pointed up and one guy whose arrow is pointed down. So what the head coach said about them after the game, we'll get to that shortly. Let's also talk some disgruntled players for a moment. Sometimes with reason to be disgruntled, sometimes without reason to be disgruntled, or you be the judge. So disgruntled player number one is Micah Parsons with the Dallas Cowboys. You know the story. He wants out of Dallas, or at least he says he does, privately with a request for a trade, which has become public. There was an interesting thing yesterday from a talk show host in Dallas, and the guy's name is Bobby Belt. I've never heard of him before, but he's a talk show host in Dallas, and he laid something out I thought was pretty interesting. Framed, gives you an idea of the degree to which Micah Parsons wants out. Here's what this talk show host in Dallas said.
But I think the impression I got yesterday talking to people with the Cowboys and just calling around the league and stuff like that is they're not joking with the request. Like right now they're serious, it feels like.
That's pretty interesting, man. So,
good news. More right? of that, buddy.
Right? So I don't know, man. It's just a wild situation. I mean, the Eagles play the Cowboys now in 27 days. Is Micah Parsons going to be in that game? Is he going to play for Dallas this year? Is he going to play for Dallas the next 10 years?
It's all. We certainly would benefit any team in the world.
Tanner McKee for Micah Parsons?
For having Micah Parsons on the
Seltzer
team.
Tanner McKee for
Why on earth would the Dallas Cowboys ever allow that to happen? Why would they ever trade him to us?
Well, I don't think he's going to get traded here, but it could happen. Crazy. Look, most normally guys get the deal. Right, I mean,
he's going to get the deal down there, and he's going to count some exorbitant number against their cap.
Because remember, he hasn't
year,
said
like $100 million against their cap.
He hasn't said anything like what Myles Garrett said out in Cleveland. I mean, Myles Garrett was so I want out of here, and then they gave him the offer he wanted, and he signed. But anyway, it's worth keeping your eye on. I thought that was interesting audio from Dallas. One more thing. Speaking of disgruntled players, anniversary on Sunday. Of what? I'm not going to give either the year.
I was on the phone. Say it one more time.
James, Sunday is the anniversary of something significant in Philadelphia sports history. What is it? I'm not going to tell you the year. So that would be what? What is today, the 8th?
Yeah, so the 10th you're talking about.
That would be August 10th in Philly sports history. And again, I've given you a monster hint. Disgruntled player.
Oh, I didn't hear the disgruntled player part. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's too early for T.O., right? Oh, T.O. was? I didn't think it was this early. Wow.
What specifically?
The sit-ups,
yeah.
20th anniversary coming up in 2 days. T.O. in the driveway.
It's actually crazy that it was already 20 years ago.
Are you kidding
me? Kicked out of a practice or camp or whatever it was, for that day.
Oh, he was not in camp.
Goes home. John, you were still on the Eagles. You got cut a couple weeks later, but Sunday is the 20-year anniversary of T.O. doing sit-ups in the driveway.
Oh, man.
Can you? Isn't that amazing?
I remember walking into the dorm room at Lehigh, standing there incredulously with the other running backs.
Watching it on TV?
It was Carell Buchholter and Deuce and Brian. I think we were all just sitting there, and I had my Harry Potter book, whatever the second to last Harry Potter book was. We were just coming from our meetings, there's the TV. There's our teammate, not in camp with us, not at the meetings, but he's working out, and we can see he's doing the sit-ups.
Pretty amazing. So anyway, I'm sure that'll be a talking point this weekend because, that's a pretty big anniversary. We know, obviously, things went off the rails from there. They were off the rails at that moment, went off the rails from there. All right, let's get a lot of calls in this segment, particularly in the next 15 minutes or so, because 7:45, we got Beat the Hammer. 7:55, we've got Elliot, who was on the scene last night. Speaking of on the scene, Devin was as well. Devin, give us something that that stood out to you? You got sideline access game going on. I mean, McKee, very impressive. I thought defender shaky.
Yeah.
What else, though, that maybe we don't know because we're not, you know, on the sideline? Like, what'd you say?
I mean, my favorite part of last night was watching the starters, the guys who weren't playing, even, you know, new OC Kevin Petullo, new coaches, react to these young, mostly younger guys. I mean, I know there were a few guys who will be starters out there on both sides of the ball. But
happy for them kind of moment?
Yeah, like when Tanner McKee successfully executed his first tush push. I was standing right next to where the offensive line stands on the sidelines, and they lost their minds. Everyone was going up to Kevin Petullo and hugging him. You know, they kind of got that out of the way early. Also, the crowd was going wild. Saquon Barkley said in training camp earlier this week that he's a big trash talker. He seems like he's having a lot of fun out there, a lot more fun at least than he definitely had in New York and maybe even had last season. And he's doing really well, but he was standing right in front of us on the sideline for a while, trash talking from the sideline. So it, my favorite part
to the other team,
So like the Bengals, and this is like towards the end of the game too. So it's like the Bengals' third string corner, and he's trash talking him.
That's funny.
But it's cool to see them get up for guys who, you know, some of these guys might not even make the team, but the support is still
That's
there.
That's an unbelievable. Think about that part. You got the starters. You got Saquon cheering on guys who probably aren't going to be here in September, and that I don't know that
good
bond that matters.
Yeah,
that takes it. It really does say a lot about the way that they establish team here.
Yeah, no, it's really good stuff. Look, there's a lot of good to react to from last night. McKee being probably the biggest bright spot. The wide receivers that are going to be the backup receivers, some good stuff there. You know, Kelee Ringo was not good. I mean, he just wasn't. All right, let's go to the phones. Derek and Paoli. Derek, good morning.
Good morning. Yo,
what's up, Derek?
What up, pal?
John, congratulations to you, man.
Thank you, Derek.
Love is a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate it.
I'm surprised that Jack, and I'm starting to like Jack, but for you to have so much confidence, Joe, I'm almost thinking that you might have paid him off the next way because you're just talking real, like, you have no respect for him, bro.
Well, I knew that if he wasn't very good at tennis, I knew I'd smoke him at tennis. Like, I was very confident of that. But candidly, I didn't know what he would bring to the table. I was only discerning based on what he said on the air, which didn't sound impressive. But Derek, the overall thing is I just felt confident a couple months ago. I'm a better athlete than Jack. And part of it is the, you know, what you think of as athleticism, like the natural skill set in there. But part of it is the heart. I mean, you got to dig down, man. I mean, you heard what A.J. Listen, competitors like A.J. Brown and the Hammer, you know, with that audio we played of A.J. about half an hour ago, you got to dig down. That's what I do. That's what I do! That's why I got 290 wins and beat the Hammer, Derek.
So, honestly, listen, you think you can only beat him in basketball, though?
A.J. Brown or Jack Fritz?
Jack Fritz.
Jack Fritz, I know I could beat him. I don't know that I for sure will beat him, but I would certainly put me as the favorite, yes.
So you're going to win this competition?
Yeah, I thought that the whole time. I've told you that from beginning to middle, and we'll find out if it's true. In the end, we'll find out.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I wouldn't bet on you. I want you to win. But
you should.
I just don't know where Jack's head is because yesterday he was just the same old Jack. He didn't have he wasn't embarrassed. He wasn't ashamed.
That should tell you something, Derek. That should tell you something, Derek.
Yeah, that's wild, bro.
Derek, I said it wasn't a disaster.
Yeah, but Derek, I see it differently. I think I'm being honest. If I'm being the psychologist, if I'm Dr. Melfi here to Tony Soprano, I think he's deflecting from the torture within him, and he's trying to act like it's no big deal because I don't think he wants the world to see him suffer. I don't know.
I mean, he threw his racket, but I think that was...
Well, he wants to win. No, he wants to win. But I think he's realizing better man, other side.
I definitely think that there's something in a defense mechanism at play here with Jack.
Yeah, he's...
Like, I don't care. I don't even care. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it doesn't... Something
well, it
add
should
up
matter.
There.
It better start mattering
it's
or else
weird,
you're going to lose this whole...
All right, Derek, I need an answer from you for a big coming-of-age character.
You always cut me short, but anyway, I'm going to go with Cuba Gooding Jr. and Boys in the Hood.
Has already been said. Give me a different answer.
I'll,
You don't watch the movies I watch. I would say Omar Epps and Love and Basketball.
Joe likes Love and Basketball.
That's a great answer.
It's a good movie.
I love that movie. All right, Derek, give me your point on the Eagles. What do you got?
No, I just feel like, you know, last night you attacking, like, you know, Kelly Ringo. They did look bad, but they was looking bad against, you know, arguably the best receiver duo in the league. You know,
no, for sure.
That first drive. So
that's right.
I would
just
be a little bit more, you know what I'm saying? You put Kenyon out there and Cooper out there. Got to give him a little bit more security.
Well, it would. You know. All right, Derek, good call, buddy. Let's listen to Sirianni from last night, first on Kelee Ringo and then on Tanner McKee, because obviously it was totally different type of performances from those two guys. Let's start with Sirianni on Kelee, who clearly struggled.
You evaluate everything. Keeley's done a nice job in practice to date, you know, and he's made a lot of plays in practice, you know, today. You know, we'd like to see him, those guys complete those outs on a lot of, I see them make a lot of those plays, you know. Jamar Chase is, you know, one of the better receivers in the NFL. Just, we got to make that tackle there in that situation and you know, stop that play for a 16-yard gain instead of it going out there.
To say the least.
Uh-huh.
To say
you
the
think
least.
So?
Right. Like, Sirianni's not telling you there what he really wants to say. What he really wants to say is this guy was a disaster tonight, and one of the other two guys better be ready to go, because if I got to play this guy as my starter, I got a problem.
It really felt like they were – look, I was hoping to see him step up, step his level of play up, and it felt like the opposite occurred.
It
felt like it got a little overwhelming.
It did.
It got away from him. He felt like – It looked like he was playing catch-up because he was not as confident in his assignments as he needed to be. It's just, it got too big.
And, look, I felt bad for him. I mean, when they were showing him in the second half standing on the sideline when he was taken out of the game, you know, because his time in the game was over. But, you know, you see other players joke and laugh and talk and whatever. And for that snippet where they showed him a couple
he's
times.
He's very aware that
oh, he
knew
just he struggled.
Did
yeah, he knew.
Poorly.
Which is really a shame.
He's letting this opportunity slip away.
This is not the day for Kelee Ringo to listen to WIP. let's just be candid about it. So feel bad for him, but it's also a problem because someone's got to play the spot, and we don't yet know who that person will be. I don't think it will be him as the starter. All right, Tanner McKee. He was obviously unbelievably impressive. Just really looked good. Let's listen to what Nick Sirianni said after the game about McKee.
Nick, how do you think Tanner played tonight?
Played pretty good.
Let's see, but, you know, a little bit more as far as what he did well.
He played good. No, he did a lot of good things. Went to the right place with the football, was accurate. Ran, you know, had really good operation, him and Kevin. A lot of communication and Scott. He did a really nice job.
Did a great job. He really did. And look, to me, what has come into focus is you don't trade him unless you get at least a first round pick. And, you know, like, I don't even consider trading him for a two. And the concept of a one, now it can depend on what type of team it is. Generally, a team that needs a quarterback is usually not a very good team. And that can become a top 10 pick. Now, sometimes a quarterback can make a difference and make that type of team a playoff team. Sometimes. But I'll just say I would not consider trading Tanner McKee, who you have under contract really cheap for two more years, this one and next year, unless it's at least the number one pick. At least. I think he's very good. By the way, we'll give you a Twitter poll question of the day about Tanner McKee and about the competition of me and Jack. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's one-owner pre-owned pickup trucks and SUVs at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. The first poll question, do you think Tanner McKee is the future NFL starting quarterback? Yes or no? Goes without saying, we don't mean like filling in for a game or two, guy gets injured. We mean like, do you think he'll be a guy that starts in pro football? A team's designated starter. Yes or no, do you think that's in his future? Second poll question, we got to decide, and we will make this determination by 5 o'clock today, because I'll be on the afternoon show at 4:30 today to hash this out. So this is like the prelims for that. Twitter poll question, what should be the distance for the Joe versus Jack running competition? We have three choices here, and they're really only the only three choices. The 100 meters, which is, you know, the traditional fastest man in the world race. That's the, you know, Carl Lewis 100 meter, let's go try to be the fastest man in the world. 200 meters, Michael Johnson's specialty, half a lap. and then the 400 meters, which is one lap around the track. Obviously, conditioning comes into this. What's the most exciting race for the audience to see comes into this. I can honestly tell you I don't know which of the three would be best for me. I really don't.
What about...
I don't.
What about... Okay, so there are three distances right now.
Yeah.
What about the possibility of adding one either shorter or longer?
Well, you kind of want to go shorter than 100. I mean, we don't want to
well,
go
you got
from
a 40-yard dash. That is a distance. Nah. I mean, if you really want to get it over quick and dirty
too short.
And fast.
Too short.
And do you have a better chance of winning if it goes to an 800? I mean, I do think Jack might quit if you know, you're neck and neck with them, and it's like,
you
get one lap under your belt.
400 meters
to go.
Is the perfect.
Jack's not quitting running. Like, I'm just telling you, like, he runs miles and miles. Like, he might lose, which I'm not expecting, but he might lose. He's not going to not run. Like, I promise you.
Devin, which is the best one for me to win? What's your gut tell you?
For you to win?
Yeah.
See, like, I feel like that's not. I think 400 meters is the best test and competition because it's not over in a second. I think it really tests, like, not necessarily endurance, but it's not short enough that, like, whoever has the fastest twitch muscles will win, if that makes sense, like a 50 or 100
meter. And you don't sprint one lap around the track. You have to have some pacing.
Well, yeah, but well, it's
I think,
it's
right?
Run, well though. Sprinting.
Yeah,
sprinting. Oh, believe me, I'm aware you're running
your
fast.
Your lungs will be on fire. Yeah.
I don't think you're sprinting the whole time.
Well,
I don't
there's
think.
There's some strategy.
You're sprinting.
You come out for the first 100 and you sprint. You need a good start. You try to stride the back stretch. That second turn, you got to dig deep getting ready for the final 100. The final 100 is hell on earth, Joe. Hell on earth.
Okay.
That's why if I'm you and – and I don't think I'm going to win, but that's the thing. You might have a chance to win this.
I do think you would have a better chance of winning the 400 versus a longer race or a shorter race.
Well, it's either going to be 1, 2, or 4.
We're not
running a marathon.
I think a 400 sets up to an incredible final stretch.
Yeah.
If you guys are willing to go to a 400, that final stretch will be so dramatic.
Because the 400 is just enough that if you get a burst event, like if it's still close and you, Joe, decide to just go for it in the end, like on the final 100
meters,
you could have a chance.
Yeah. And break my groin and totally
you
be
You may
be out
permanently injure yourself.
Your basketball.
But you would have a chance.
Right.
I think, look, that.
Maybe have a medics on standby.
When you get 300 meters under your belt, Jack is going to want to quit.
I don't think you're right, Sean. I think James is right. I think you're underselling the fact that Jack does run. So, I mean, he shouldn't. If you're a regular runner, you shouldn't quit.
I understand that.
I mean,
I'm telling you.
You mean because he'll be losing?
I ran track.
Yep.
I was running every day. When I got to that final stretch of the 400, which I ran in track meets, it was always the same. It was always, you got to dig deep. There's nothing left in the tank.
Well, look, I'll take it under consideration. I appreciate it. I haven't officially linked up with my coach, but I think I know who it's going to be. We were texting yesterday. I'm going to call him after the show. I guess I can just – so should I just announce my coach even though it's not
– Sure.
We haven't even spoken
I mean,
on
you
the
kind
phone.
Of announced it yesterday.
I know I feel really confident he's going to be my coach. He's a legendary prep figure. He's a big listener to our show. Texts me, you know, fairly frequently during the show. When the prep had their Hall of Fame – created a Hall of Fame like 160 years into the prep. Prep created a Hall of Fame a few years ago. He was in the first class of 16 that made the prep Hall of Fame. So even though we haven't spoken on the phone, I will announce that my coach is Coach Cockenberg. That is correct. So, Coach, I'll be calling you later today. We'll firm it up. But Coach Cockenberg will be my coach for the run. Now, I'd like to talk to him before, you know, we have the race because, I mean, before we set the terms with Spike today, right? Seltzer, I got to set the terms
with
Spike.
Mommy. Mommy handles that, so.
it's unbelievable. All right, so 215, he's a great guy and a legendary prep figure. 215, and we were texting yesterday. 215-592-9494. Beat the Hammer coming up in just a couple minutes. We'll take the fifth caller on the contest line. Caller 5, you compete in Beat the Hammer at 215-988-1258. Caller 5, 215-988-1258 for Beat the Hammer. Let's go to Jake right now in Roxborough. Jake, good morning.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing great, Jake.
Good. So the game last night was surprisingly interesting. I actually watched until, you know, pretty much until McKee went out. He obviously played really good, just to echo everybody else's sentiments about him. The corners definitely didn't flash, didn't make the decision any easier on who's going to start across from Quinion, but they got time to figure it out, I guess. One thing that hasn't been mentioned is the second and third running backs. And I don't know which will be which, but, I mean, Shipley looked good, obviously. But A.J. Dillon, I know it wasn't much and it's preseason, but he looked really versatile.
I like Dillon a lot more than I thought I would.
He was shiftier than I was
niftier.
Expecting.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that jump cut.
I had a problem, actually, with A.J. Dillon. Sorry, with Shipley's when he broke into the open field, if you'll recall, like that, it was his first big run. It wasn't that he so much ran out of steam. I just want to see him beat that guy. You know, your job as a running back, they're going to cover up 10 of those guys for you. You got to beat one. It bothered me a little bit that he wasn't able to do that, maybe with a stiff arm. And I don't know. Outrun him to the edge. I don't know what that looks like, but show me something special.
Yeah, I also thought he should have gotten in on that third down run before the tush push. Like, there was an opening. He just maybe he cut the wrong way, and obviously easier said than done, but it looked like he had enough room to plow in there. And then, John, I got a question for you. You watching Wrexham tomorrow? They're playing Southampton. It's the first game of the season.
Are you serious? I didn't know this. I did not know this.
Jake, that's so exciting.
I will.
Oh.
Now that I know.
I'm tickled. We're talking.
That sounds.
Who is it? Wrexham and who?
Southampton.
Oh.
I can't tell if you're joking or not.
Oh, I can't wait.
He's definitely joking.
He actually thinks he's belittling us, but I think this sounds amazing.
Like fun. So if it's not fun to him, I guess it's not worth it. So
right.
I'm excited.
Is Ted Lasso the coach? Because then I'm in.
It sounds spectacular.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
And what's it look like for this season?
It's gonna be tough. This is the biggest test because you know 3 years ago they were in arguably minor league soccer, and now they're one step away from the Premier League. And just the budgets go up exponentially
That is as exciting as all get out.
It really is. It actually is.
No, I'm playing around. Jake, soccer's all right, but I'm joking with you. Give me an answer, buddy. A coming of age character. You can win the Linkin Park tickets.
So he would have been involved in my best ending scene of a movie, but Smalls from Sandlot.
Sure. You got it, my man. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jake, appreciate that phone call right there. 215-592-9494 to weigh in on everything today, including, of course, reaction to Beat the Hammer after the competition we're about to have with a victory of 290 wins. Now the march to 300 officially begins, and the station's going to have to figure out what they're going to, you know, honor me with when I get to 300. Car might be a little much, but, you know, it's something in between a watch and a car. Of course, watch is what you get when you retire. So
knuckle sandwich.
Knuckle sandwich.
Nailed it.
No one says knuckle sandwich.
No, you don't get that much anymore. But with a record of 290 and 45 losses, let's play a little game we call Beat the Hammer.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer. On Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Alrighty. On this Tanner McKee Day, we play Beat the Hammer, and it's brought to us, or not brought to us by, but let me say you have a chance to win, the contestant does, that is, a $50 Rita's Italian Ice gift card. Gummy Bear Ice is back at Rita's. Stop by today and grab some before it goes. All right, our contestant is Dan from North Wildwood. I was down in Wildwood last weekend. Dan, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
Good, buddy.
Redemption Friday for me. I lost you like a year ago.
Ooh, Redemption Friday. I like that.
What was the topic, Dan?
It was pop culture. I lost to you.
Oh, well, that doesn't count.
Oh, that doesn't count. Yeah.
It doesn't count.
You
for me.
Lost in pop culture?
That is shocking.
That might help. That might help you for this because it is proven people that don't know pop culture as much are dorkazoids like you and me that actually know a lot of sports trivia. So this may be an advantage for you.
Well, you got your win out of the way this week yesterday, so.
It's a good point, too. I like it. He doesn't need another. We got the biggest win of the week. He's good, you know? This is secondary for once.
All right, Dan, first question. Bigger winner this week, me in tennis or Tanner McKay?
Let me just say, dude, Jack has no heart. That guy has no heart. I watched that guy, and I actually wanted to go the other yesterday. That guy has no heart. You're going to win this competition because he's got no heart. He's going to quit.
I appreciate that.
Wow.
He's a spoiled only child that has no heart. He's going to quit.
I think he actually could quit on the final stretch of this run, Joe.
So because I'm up, he might. But because I'm a,
if you're close to him, I'm saying you. If you can keep it close for the first 300, I think you can win.
Okay. All right, Dan, let me step away. We got the Beat the Hammer coming up. Elliot, after that, let me wish you good luck, Dan.
Thanks, boy.
Good. Scram. Get out of here.
You think you really meant that, Dan?
Sounded a little. Yeah, yeah, Dan, I'm with you.
How are you?
It was a little hollow, you know?
He, you know, he's heading off at a subdued pace today. I'm just letting you know, it does look as though he's a bit sore.
I like that. That's good. That means it, mind, body, it's all connected.
I think so.
Good.
So right, you just know you're catching him today when he's not quite where he wants to be. He's complained in the past when he doesn't eat. He's thrown off a little bit. He's not 100%. That, I think that's another problem. He's got a thing of Cheerios here. He has not eaten yet.
Like
so,
this.
So, yeah, you're catching him at a great time.
All right, I'm going to assume he is safely ensconced.
Is.
Danny Ray, play a little game we call Beat the Hammer.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Our category for the week, we saw them for the first time last night. We're doing a little 2025 Eagles trivia. All questions will relate to 2025 Eagles players. Are you ready to roll, my friend?
Let's go.
Clock will start as soon as the first question is finished being asked. You'll have 55 seconds. Here we go. Question number one. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert were 3 of 5 Eagles players who had 24 or more catches last regular season. Name one of the other two.
Calcaterra.
4 Eagles players were selected to the All-Pro second team last season. Name 3 of them.
Landon Dickerson. Kelsey and pass.
Out of current Eagles players, which one had the most sacks last season?
Pass.
Saquon Barkley is one of 5 former first-round draft picks made by other franchises who are currently on the Eagles roster. Name one of the other 4.
A.J. Brown.
Only one current Eagles player had more than 1 regular season interception last season. Name him.
Time.
All right. We got one. We got one. Tougher on the air. We're going to put Dan on hold.
I'm gonna He's wait now jogging
the hammer back
in.
Jogging today, huh?
He is jogging. Not sure quite why.
He's such a mom jogger.
He is a mom jogger, Devin. That's such a good way to put it. you just nailed it.
No disrespect to moms by saying that, by the way.
The most upright jogging style.
Someone cue the Chariots of Fire music.
Anyone has seen.
All right. Seltzer, you might need to get the Chariots of Fire music. Yeah.
Almost a reclining jogging
style. I didn't think of the whole running thing. I should have done that. You're right. That's a good point. I've gotten so into the MC Hammer of it all. You know.
That's true. This is Dan in North Wildwood character. How'd he do?
You ready to roll?
Ben.
Oh, look at you. Ready to roll here.
Yeah.
Elliot Shore Park's coming up in 5 minutes.
I know, yes. Yeah.
Just doing a little tease. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
You ready to roll here?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. Our category for the week. We saw them for the first time last night. We're doing a little 2025 Eagles trivia. All questions relate to players on the 2025 Eagles.
So it's about last night's game? That's all we got so far?
No. It's about players on the 2025 Eagles.
Players on the team.
You ready to roll? All questions will relate to players who are on the 2025
players
Eagles.
Players on the team. I'm going to guess Kelee Ringo is not an answer today.
You ready to roll?
Sure.
Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. Here we go. Question number one. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert were 3 of 5 Eagles players who had 24 or more catches last regular season. Name one of the other two.
Calcaterra.
4 Eagles players were selected to the All-Pro second team last season. Name 3 of them.
Say it again.
4 Eagles players were selected to the All-Pro second team last season. Name 3 of them.
3 of them? I'll come back to that.
Out of current Eagles players, which one had the most sacks last season?
Jalen Carter.
Saquon Barkley is one of five former first-round draft picks made by other franchises who are currently on the Eagles roster. Name one of the other four.
A.J. Brown.
Only one current Eagles player had more than one regular season interception last season. Name him.
Say it again.
Only one current Eagles player had more than one regular season interception last season. Name him.
I'll say Blankenship.
That's correct.
Second team are Lane, A.J., and Dickerson.
Incorrect.
Time.
What do we got here? This is brutal.
A 2-1 victory.
Yeah,
tough.
I mean, you know,
A.J. Brown was a second-round draft pick.
Okay.
Nolan Smith led in sacks. Jalen Carter, Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata, A.J. Brown were the ones.
Listen.
And then Jahan Dotson, Adoree Jackson, Kenyon Green, and Lewis Cine.
So let me just say this. There's a lots of process.
Are you
going to
complain?
Questions.
Are you complaining right now?
I mean, I got to, like, there's five guys, but I got to name four. There's three guys,
you
but
won.
I got to name six.
I asked him to Uram. So every Friday, I asked Dave Uram the questions just to run them by. Dave Uram went 5 for 5 this morning.
Yeah, don't waste my time.
You did. I guess Uram's better than you at Beat the Hammer. That's fine.
Listen,
no big deal.
John, you got to admit, it's a lot of, like, there's 17 of these guys. 12 of them, though, but get 6 of the 12 of the 17. Like, what? I mean, every question is like multiple layers of nonsense.
It did seem.
They are the Beat the Hammer questions, buddy. Like, that's the question.
Honestly, hearing the questions, he has had much more convoluted questions.
Yeah, let's go to Joe for comment.
No, John agrees with me, I think.
There were multiple questions today. To Joe's credit.
Thank you.
Both contestants had to pass repeatedly.
Yeah, it's such a...
But I don't know
tighten
if that's
it up,
because
man.
Of the question.
Tighten it up.
Maybe
bro,
it's just
find someone else to ask the questions.
Be more like Tanner McKay and less like Keely Ringo.
You can complain. I'll stop coming
right.
up with questions.
Let's welcome Dan to the floor. Dan, so do you share my complaint? I mean, victory for me, by the way, 291.
It was a lot to process. Four people, second team. Yeah, it was a lot. It's a lot on the air.
Yeah.
About in one show.
Thank you.
Listen,
but
I'm
it is.
Jack, I'm not going to be like Jack Fritz. And
yeah, do a better job. Stop whining. You're and you're complaining. You
demanding.
Are such a loser.
They're supposed to be difficult questions.
Hey, Dan,
yeah,
we're going
to
get.
Am I supposed to just give you easy questions for Beat the Hammer? Sure. Okay, I'll just mail it in for you, Joe.
Dan, I'm going to give you.
What a loser comment from
I'm
you.
I'm giving you the. The Rita's $50 gift card, because you deserve it for enduring those ridiculous questions. Dan, let me put you on hold,
good
buddy.
Job, Dan.
Call the show again when you can. Congrats on being a loser. And with that, victory 291. We shut it down.
Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You're not allowed to celebrate. You're going to complain about the win you can't celebrate.
The second most important win I had this
honestly,
week.
Honestly, I don't even think it should count as a win since you're such upset with it.
Second.
So you're still at 290, I think.
Whiner.
Right.
We'll talk to Elliot in a moment. James, am I going to see Elliot on the screen, or do we have him already ready to go?
How would I have called him while I was just doing
Well, I didn't know if he was on that access.
I'm going to call him right now.
You call it the
access. I'm going to call him right now.
All right, in the meantime, let's get a call in here. Let's go to Austin right now. Is this tennis coach Austin? Good morning, Austin.
Good morning. Yeah.
Austin, what's up, buddy?
Hey, first call after Beat the Hammer. Congrats.
Thank you, sir. Congrats to you on being the coach, to being the coach of the Hammer in tennis. Wait, the secondary coach. You're like the what do they call it, John? The sous chef? Is that the term?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, but am I saying it right? Sue?
I
think so.
Sue, you are the Sue chef coach.
I don't know. How does that?
Austin.
Yeah, Sue chef coach.
Yeah.
That's pushing it, though.
All right, Austin, I know you were at the Eagles game last night. What'd you make of it?
Oh, the Eagles game was great. You know, great crowd, as always. Tanner McKee was surgical. I was kind of one of those guys that, like, if we could get a 2 for him, I would have taken that a while ago.
But not now, right?
I think, you know, I kind of thought Tanner was a little bit of a, I don't know, like what they say about Hurts, right? Like, prior to the system. But I think he's legit good now.
Yeah, I think he's a top 20 quarterback in football. I mean, ish. Top 20-ish. I think he probably is. And with, you know, probably room to grow. I mean, he looks very good. Look, I remember there was a play last year when he was looking good for the game and a half or so he played. He put it up for grabs at one point. Could have been intercepted. It wasn't. Same thing last night. There was a could have been intercepted. It wasn't. So, you know, he's going to have those moments. But, man, I think he looks impressive. All right, Austin, I want to thank you, obviously, for your help with tennis, my man. You made a great, great difference, and I appreciate you very, very much. Give me a coming-of-age character you can win the Lincoln Park tickets today.
From A Bronx Tale, Calogero.
Yeah.
What an answer.
Big. Hey, Austin, stay well, bud. I'll be in touch with you. What an answer that is.
How many people do you know that also have that name? Have you ever met anyone?
No.
I've never ever met anyone with that name.
Never have. I'll tell you something really cool I didn't know until recently. Let me say this quickly here, as I know Elliot's ready to go. A Bronx Tale, Chaz Palminteri, who, of course, plays Sonny in A Bronx Tale, that was his story.
Oh, you've never.
No.
Yeah, he wrote it.
John, here's the deal, John. When he was young, was a kid that witnessed an argument over a parking spot, which is how the movie begins.
Wow.
And he witnessed it. He was Collegial. And he wrote He wrote this play, and then he had been performing it for some number of years.
He
was performing it in the 80s. He was trying to get it made into a movie. He had been turning down offers a certain amount of money. It's like a Stallone story with Rocky. He had been turning down certain number of money for giving the rights over. And then one night he's performing the play. This is before the movie's been made. He's performing the play. And De Niro's in the audience, but he doesn't know it. Play's over. De Niro comes up to him and says, "We're making this a movie." And that's how A Bronx Tale became a feature film, with De Niro obviously in there as the father, you know, Chaz as the mobster, and then they found the kid to be him. I mean, it's an amazing story.
All right, directed it too. It's the only movie he ever directed, Robert De Niro.
Wow, that's something.